Blog Talk Radio.
I'm so
God bless you, Sister Tammy Burns. We see you on tonight. Amen. That was the Old Testament that you really ain't got time to do a lot. There's so much to really, you talk about the Ark of the Covenant and how the tabernacle and all these things, the different feasts, the different type of sacrifices, we'll be here all night. Amen. But I challenge you and encourage you to go read about it, especially in Exodus. And Moses went on, went to Mount Sinai and did the things that God spoke to him. And the initial God did the Ten Commandments, and Moses throws them down, and God had to redo them. And we know that the Ten Commandments were in the Ark of the Covenant. There was manna in the Ark of the Covenant. Also, Aaron's rod was placed in the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. It was made of wood, but covered in gold. It had on the top the lid, which was the mercy seat. Amen. The mercy seat, and on each side of the mercy seat, there were cherubims. There was one cherubim on one side, one on the other. Amen. And in the middle of that represented the presence of God. Amen. The presence of God. And if we ever needed the presence of God, we need it now. Amen. It's so important to a lot of us, and we, you know, for years we've always thought and always kind of, you know, feared that the presence of God, we had to wait till we got to church to feel the presence of God, to feel the anointing. Amen. A lot of us even thought, you know, the only way you could get saved was in the church. The only way, amen, as our upcoming was to receive the Holy Ghost was, amen, on the altar, tarrying, saying, Jesus. Amen. They didn't think you had the Holy Ghost until you spoke in tongues. Amen. And some of the same folks, amen, that spoke in tongues were still telling lies and cussing and carrying on. Amen. But that's a whole other, subject. Amen. Dealing with the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And all of that. That's a whole other subject. But even in the Old Testament, these were more of the rituals, more of the things. Amen. The presence of God was there was a destination, there was a place that they could see. Amen. And once Israel was in captive by the Philistines, I think it was over 70 years or so. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines kept the Ark of the Covenant. And could you imagine how many generations, amen, 70 years, however long that is, as far as generations, you know, that would pass, that would forget about, amen, what the presence and the Ark of the Covenant, what it represented, because it was not in their presence. It was not in Israel's presence. They had been in captivity, and they could not serve and do things as they normally would do because they were in captive. Amen. They were in captivity. Amen. So we get to a point now where God has delivered them from the hand of the Philistines, and amen, God has showed up in the Philistine camp and started doing things in the Philistine camp, and they wanted to, amen. They said, y'all come and get this ark, get this presence, amen. This what represents y'all, amen. This God, y'all get it, amen, because he's messing stuff up. And I just want you to understand, if you stay with God, it doesn't matter who your enemy is. It doesn't matter even if you're in slavery, amen. If you honor the presence of God, God will show up even at your enemy's house. Lord, help me. My God will show up even in the house of those that are trying to ridicule you, amen. Those that are scandalizing your name, those that are running you down, amen. God will show up in their house and remind them of who he is. No, amen, not tonight. I'm about to get happy. Amen. Have you ever had issues or some situations in your life that God showed up just in the nick of time and reminded the people of who he is? Amen. And I always say, we got some t-shirts to say, is God before us? Y'all hear me tonight. The who don't matter. Amen. But we as a people of God must always respect and honor the presence of God. Look at the name that you got, one that's not to yourself. Amen. The presence of God is important. Amen. Amen. The presence of God is important. So let's see here. Amen. It had been a while since they had the presence. Amen. God had allowed them to recapture, to take hold again of the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. And they are on their way. I believe by this time it was at Abinadab's house. And, amen. It was over 70 years or so with the Philistines. Now, is that they brought it out and took it to Abinadab, amen, and Abinadab's son, Eleazar, amen, bless his heart, was the watchman for the covenant, amen, for the Ark of the Covenant. He watched it, amen. So it stayed there about 20 years, amen. So let's see here, verses 1 through 12. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, it says, verse 1, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, about 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the Ark of God. Amen. Let me hear you say the Ark of God. Amen. Whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. Amen. I just told you about the cherubims. They set, amen, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, amen, on top of the lid portion, which the lid portion was the mercy seat. Amen. And on the mercy seat set the two cherubims, one on the right corner, one on the left corner. Amen. Okay, so they sat down, and in between them represented the presence of God. And verse 3, and they set the Ark of God upon a new cart. Amen. Yeah, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Remember, it had been in Abinadab's house, amen, for about 20 years. That was in Gibeah, and Uzzah, and Ahio, praise the Lord, the sons of Abinadab drained the new cart. So they're taking the cart, amen, they placed the Ark of the Covenant, which represents what? The presence of God, amen, on a new cart. Amen, which was driven by ox, you know, by cattle, but at the steering, amen, at the direction of Uzzah, which was, amen, Abinadab's son Uzzah, and Ahio, okay, which were the sons of Abinadab, they drained the new car. Okay, verse 4, amen, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God, okay, and Ahio went before the Ark, amen, and David, verse 5, oh, look, we move right along tonight, amen, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord, amen, on all manner of instruments made of firewood. Let's start there again, verse 5, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of firewood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. Verse 6, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Amen. So here they are traveling, amen, in the band of traveling, amen. They actually have a band, amen. They get all the instruments, they get the musicians together, because this is a time of celebration. Why? Because now the physical presence of God, amen, David is en route to take it back to the city of David. Amen. It has been in the Philistines coming. Now it has been at Abinadab's house for several years, but now David has an opportunity to take, amen, the literal presence of God, amen, which is represented in the Ark of the Covenant, back to Jerusalem. So he gets the musicians together. I can only imagine they got a praise party going on, celebrating that the presence of God, amen, is returning back to its rightful place. Amen. I just want you to understand that there may come times in your life where you seem as if you are separated from God's presence. Amen. Where it seems like, amen, you can't feel God, you can't see God, and you wonder if sometimes is God still on your side. I just stopped by this for a while, but if you don't want it to encourage you on tonight, that even when you can't see God, he's always up to something. When you can't feel God, God is always doing something. Amen. God always got you in mind. If you would just remember him, amen. I can't hear nobody. I said, if you would just remember God, be my God, shows God will always remember you. If you keep God first, if you put him first, amen. You know the great commandment. Let the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Amen. And the second is like you know, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. And how do you serve your neighbor? How do you serve God? Amen. You serve God by serving people.
the Bible declares, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If you have love one to another, amen. The old one said it like this, your love for me is no good if you don't have love towards me. Amen. A lot of times we use that word, we just throw it out. I love you, doctor. I love you, sister. I love you, brother. Amen. But when you see a brother and sister in need, and you shut up your mouth of compassion, amen. In other words, you know that brother's broken. You know that sister's thirsty. You know that sister's hungry. Amen. And here you are willing to pray a prayer. When you got a refrigerator full of food, when you got a pocket full of money, amen. Keep your prayer. Take it to McDonald's. I'll make them under me. Amen. Keep your prayer and take me to something where I can eat fresh. Amen. Listen, your love for me is no good if you don't have love towards me.
Amen. The presence of God. Amen. How do people know? Amen. They know God when they see you. They may not ever read their Bible. They may not ever come to a Bible study. But yet, while you're on your job, they're looking at you. While you're walking through the mall, they're looking at you. Amen. Some of y'all seeing me now on Facebook. You ain't picked up your Bible in a while. Amen. But now you're watching. Amen. Folks, listen to me. You all, somebody is always watching. God bless you, Sister Joelle, and I see you out there. Yeah, God, always, somebody is always watching you, especially when you claim the name of Christ, when you claim to be saved, when you claim to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you claim to, amen, love God like the Bible says, amen, people will put down their Bible and begin to read you. The Bible declares that we are living epistles read of men. In other words, people are watching them. To shake your name into God's face, tell that name, say, somebody's looking at you. Always somebody. And sometimes it's the people that you least expect that's watching you. Amen. All right, I'm about to get too happy before time. Amen. Let's go back to verse, let's go to verse 10. And when they came to him, Nicodemus stretching to him, other put forth his hand to the ark of God. Okay, and took hold of it for the ark to shift it. So as they was traveling on their way to their destination, which at this moment it was, they were on their way to Jerusalem. Amen. They were taking the ark of the covenant, which represent, as we stated time and time again, the presence of God. They was taking that back to the city of David, back to Jerusalem. So here they are having a praise party, celebrating with all kind of music, amen, and having a good time. And as they were proceeding in the procession, amen, the oxen shook the ark. Amen. The oxen shook the ark. And here Uzzah, which was one of the drivers and protectors of the ark, what did he do? The Bible declares that he put forth his hand and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Okay, that's verse 6. Okay, and that seems that before we get to 7, if you don't know this, amen, you would not even fathom what's going to happen next. If you haven't read that scripture before, there's no way you would even guess on what happens next, because it seems like Arthur does, amen, a good deed. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God, was about to fall because of the stumbling of the oxen. It shook the covenant. It shook the Ark of the Covenant, and it was getting ready to fall to the ground. And here Uzzah reaches forth his hand, which seems like a good gesture, because he don't want the ark to fall and be the ground and be damaged. So what does he do? Amen. I can only imagine he didn't even think twice, because he knew the importance of it. Amen. And he no doubt felt he was doing a good deed.
Yeah.
But listen, just because it seemed good, that don't mean it's the right thing to do.
That's right.
Amen. I'm about to get the verse 7. A lot of us have good intentions, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the will of God. Lord, help me tonight. That doesn't mean that it's God's plan for your life. Here I am with a wife and five children. Now I'm talking about me, amen. I don't speak for other men. I'm not speaking for someone else's house. Amen. It would seem to be a good idea for me to just start traveling around the world preaching the gospel. It doesn't seem like when I'm preaching, the Lord called me to preach. I'm going all around the world to preach. That seems like it would be a good thing to do, a noble thing to do. But is that God's will for my life? Is that God's plan? Is that God's best for my life right now? And the answer is no. Not for me to do all that. And then have to leave my wife and my five children. Now, right now. Now, later on, if God opens up them doors, then fine, me and my wife will go. But by that time, the children got to be grown and out the house and doing their own thing. But right now, amen, I know my purpose. Amen. And my purpose is to be right in here with my wife and children and make sure, amen, I'm giving them what they need, the protection, the stability, the comfort that my wife and five children need. I have to tell somebody that sometimes they try to tell me, well, you can't say what God, I said, no, you can't say what God got for you. Amen. But I can say, I know what God called me. And from right here in our secondary location, amen, from right here in our second location, we preaching the gospel all over the world, and they had to fly nowhere. And I had that conversation with a good friend of mine a few years ago, and oh, you can't say God might send you up the altar. I said, you can't sing it. But I know what God called me. I know what God told me to do. That's why I preach so much about family. We got a lot of preachers that are out saving the world. Y'all don't like this teacher, but y'all know his family like tonight. They out saving the world, but their house, amen, is going to hell because the presence of God is not in the house. Amen. The presence is not in the house. Amen. Man, you represent the presence. Amen. You represent. Oh, I didn't even know he was going this way tonight. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Man, you represent the presence of God for your wife and for your children. You represent stability and comfort and protection. Lord, we were sitting here. I was eating my baked chicken last night. Amen. And then I got a call last night from my daughter. She was at work. Amen. And some strange was going on at the job. Amen. And here we are. We stayed about 5 minutes from where she worked at. Amen. And some folk was in there acting crazy. Amen. She didn't call her mama.
They called me.
She didn't call her. I know she loved her mama. A lawyer loves parents. I know that. But when she was in trouble, see, if people know what type of trouble, see, that's some things a lawyer can get into, she won't let me know about it. But when it's real urgent,
yeah, right,
when there's something really going on, she called last night, she wanted to talk to her dad, she called me. And before she could hang up, amen, I put on some kind of clothes. I had on, my God, I think I had on some sandals and some clip-clacks. Amen, I think I put a cummerbund on with a bow tie. I don't know what I had on. The stuff was on backwards. Amen, but because my child, amen, the call was urgent, amen, she knew I represented strength. But that's what's going on in our homes now. We're losing the strength. We're losing the presence of God. Because we got too many men, amen, especially in the group, that's out trying to save everybody else, amen, and forgetting those that should be most important, amen. Not that for other folks not important, but what should be most important is those of your own blood. Amen. Amen. The reason why, when I got to a job, Sister Joanna, amen, all the police officers in there, amen, I went in there, and I didn't have my thing on it, amen, amen, we still working on that, too, but I got my license to carry, amen, but I bust up in there like I was Hercules, I ran up in there, what's going on? I ran in the job, you know, 5-10 police officers, I run up in there, amen, shirt on backwards, amen, amen, the number time. Part of me was coming out. Amen. Yes, I'm saved, and I love the Lord, but my child was calling. Amen. And the father in me, the protector in me, had to go see what was going on with my child. Amen. And what God obedience is only let those that cry unto him daily. amen. I'm almost giving this about me part being part fake, amen, part celery and carrots going on now. Amen. Why? Amen. I was getting ready to put this, amen, that good piece of that chicken piece I had in my mouth. Amen. I got to call, amen, to my Mario, and I left. I forgot that I was hungry. I represent the presence. I represent the strength. I bring balance to my family. And I rushed in there. Amen. And I went and said, what my daughter had got in there? All security. My wife. Amen. God knows. Amen. He knows me. Amen. We got a good name. The sacrament name. Praise Tabernacle. Amen. I got a good name. The Lord's here. Amen. And when I walked in there, all the officers, for the most part, I knew all of them. And they began to talk fast. I said, hey, man, my daughter's here. What I'm saying, man, I didn't know that was your daughter. So we were trying to find out what's going on. And we began to talk. I went to see tomorrow night at the game. So this is the hell. Pastor went to see tomorrow night at the game. I said, let's take care. Amen. Let's make sure that everything is okay right here.
All right.
So even though my daughter didn't call me, she called the police. That comfort didn't come till daddy got killed. Amen. Y'all ain't gonna like this type of preaching tonight. Amen. Amen. When the man you represent, amen, and there's somebody say, get it going. They're a man in the house. They bear a presence of God in the house. Yeah, other touches doing a good deed. Sister Joelle, Sister Kenya, other does a good deed so we think. But remember, the ark of the covenant had been out of their presence for a number of years. And they had been in Abinadab's house for about 20 years. But the reverence and the respect, the overall respect that was initially there, wasn't there anymore. So we kind of felt, amen, Uzzah knew he was doing pretty much good deeds. But he was still out of order. You better find God's will for your life. Stop listening to everybody else. Stop calling all these prophets and all these psychic hotlines to try to find out what God's will is for your life. Baby, get in your Bible. Get on your knees. Ask the Lord. Amen. So ain't nobody going to dictate to me, amen, what I know God has called me to do. And from right here at our headquarters, at our, amen, 70 Life Center, right here at headquarters, we're preaching the gospel to the world every Thursday night. Amen. Now, won't he do it? Amen. Amen. God will do it. God will supply. God will. Amen. God, if you keep the presence, you keep his presence. Amen. All right, let me get through here. So he took it. This is other. He thought about the fall. He took it. Seemed like a good thing to do, but watch this. Verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, for his irreverence. And like I just told you, he at this time they weren't reverencing what the presence, what the ark represented. And they was using it carelessly. And forgetting the importance and the significance of having the presence of God in your company. God killed Uzzah. And there he died by the ark of God. God killed him. Listen, this goes for me and everybody that's listening and watching. You better reverence God. Don't mean you're gonna do everything right all the time, but you better reverence God. When you get out of line, you better come back in line. We see here Uzzah didn't get a chance to make it right. That's Old Testament for you. Amen. That's Old Testament. They didn't get a lot of time, amen. When Moses came from off the mountain, amen. And who's on the Lord's side and all this, and he threw them things, the tablets through the commandments down, amen. The ground opened up and God killed folk. Old Testament, Lord, help me here. Amen. God was what? A good preacher said it this way. God was so bad in the Old Testament that Jesus had to come in the New Testament to give him a better reputation. Amen. You have to thank God for Jesus. I thank God for him. Amen. See, there are, amen, they had to go to the high priest. And the high priest had to make atonement. can try to make atonement, that will appease God, that will make God okay. But thanks be unto God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we no longer have to go for a priest no more. Listen, I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring now almost 13 years. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you ain't got to come to me to get to God. Amen. You go straight through Jesus to get to God. You ain't even got to confess yourself to me. Amen. This ain't Catholicism. You don't need to go behind law and all that stuff going on in Catholicism. I would tell nobody nothing. Amen. Look, the veil of the temple where Jesus died, the veil of the temple was written. Amen. In other words, he did away with anybody having an anarchy, anybody having a monopoly on God. Maybe you think you got to go through them to get to God. Jesus did. Look at the name of it. Say, Jesus paid it all. Lord, I wish I had the right title for the night, but we didn't seem like we in. We in right there. Amen. We thank God that we got, amen, we got the man Jesus Christ that no longer is God. We all would be beaten. We all about heaven for the night. If we had to continue the sacrifice, amen, cattle and cows and oxen and chickens and all this, could y'all imagine, amen, there would be no chickens. There would be no God. You wouldn't have to worry about hamburgers. Amen. We wouldn't have none of that stuff. Amen. If we had to continue the sacrifice those things, bullets and stuff, in order to please God. So we thank God that over a real far away, still the Lord of the cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. The songwriter said, I cherish the old cross. To my trophy and man, I lay down. I will dream to the old rugged cross. Amen. And one day I will exchange my cross.
Thank you.
that the Lord Jesus knows that you are needing everywhere you go. And I got a witness here. You got a doctor for the Lord. Take the presence you need to have. You got an order on the throne. Take the presence you need to have.
So I felt a little extra happy to preach a little bit like that. I'm through. Let me read 7 through 12 and we're through. And the angel of the Lord was kindling his anger. And God smote him there for his error. In other words, his irreverence, his lack of reverencing the presence of God. And there he died by the ark. And David, the king, was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of that place Perez Uzzah to this day. And that Perez meaning where Uzzah burst out against Uzzah. God struck him just like that because of his error. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. See? God will do things sometimes to get us to reverence him, to remember he's a good God, but he's a flaming fire. He's a terror also. I think one scripture called it terrible. Amen. So we don't want to just do, because we got grace, we don't want to continue in sin. The Bible says, shall we therefore continue in sin, that grace may abound. The writer kept writing that, God forbid, how can we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? But David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He said, well, how am I going to get this to the city of David? How am I going to get this ark? Lord, you killed him. I mean, there was no mercy. You killed him. David said, how? Because it's bound to have to get high in the world. Am I going to get the ark to the city? How am I going to get this ark to Jerusalem? How am I going to do it? Okay, so David was afraid of the Lord that day. Verse 9, he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Meaning, how is he going to get to Jerusalem? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. In other words, David refused to take that into the city of David, to Jerusalem. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. David said, well, Obed stay right around the corner. Obed is right there. Let's take it and we leave it at Abinadab's house. It's been there for about 20 years or however. And we can't take it because of what just happened. I'm afraid. Amen. That's what God's going to do some things in our lives to make us reverence him, to bring us back to him because he loves us. Amen. Not necessarily to kill us, but because he loves us, and those that he loves, he chastens. He corrects. He rebukes. Amen. He whips us. Okay? So David would not remove the ark, verse 10, of the Lord unto him to the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. The presence of the Lord was in his house down the Blue Rock. It was in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. The presence, the ark. It was in there for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Men, okay, if you keep the presence in your house, the Lord will bless you. Men, reverence God. My sisters that don't have a man in the house, you reverence God. You keep God at the forefront. Honor him, and your house will be blessed. Obed-Edom didn't ask for this, but he welcomed it in. No doubt he knew what had just happened to Uzzah. Oh, he reverenced God. Now David is getting back to his right mind concerning God and being reverencing him, respecting him, being afraid, okay, knowing that God is God. You don't treat God like he just any old thing. Right. And you honor God, you reverence God. Amen. All right, so while the presence was at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, everything that was attached to Obed-Edom was blessed. See, men, if we get women, if we keep the presence of God down, our children will be blessed. Our marriages will be blessed. Our relationships will be blessed if we reverence God in our home. Remember, the subject tonight is the presence of God. Now, the difference is now and then, it was an actual ark that they could look to. We don't have that. We don't have to worry about that because of Jesus. Now that ark is inside of you. Amen. You carry, you are the church. You are, amen. You represent Christ. You represent God. You. Okay. Some of us still ain't went back to the building, the church that we call church. But wherever you are, you represent, if you're a child of God, you represent God. You represent the presence of God. Y'all tonight, y'all watch me, some of you in your living room, some of you in your kitchen, some of you at work, amen. If you're a child of God, you are reverencing him even now. You don't have to wait until no Sunday morning. Amen. You're a royal priesthood, you're a chosen generation, you're a peculiar people. God loves you. See, the presence of God was in someone's house. Well, there's no church. Oh, let me... Well, there's no church building. I'm not against the church building. I'm going to be in one Sunday morning. But now, Thursday night, I'm in my house.
Yes, you are.
Right. I want to reverence God. I want my wife and my 5 children to see the presence of God in me.
Yeah.
I want my children to love this God I've been preaching and telling them about all their lives. That way when they get grown, amen, they ain't got to worry about them turning into Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and, amen, loonies and, amen, laws, doing all this other stuff. Because I want them to see the God that I've been preaching about. I want them to be able to see that God in my life. I want my children, my wife, a lot of men want our wives to submit and love and honor us, but, amen, you make it hard because they don't see you honoring and submitting to God. Okay? So the presence. You represent the presence of God. My single sisters, single brothers, amen, you got children, even if you don't have children, you're home. You represent the presence wherever you go. You at the family reunion. You represent the presence. They know you claim to be saved. Okay? They know you want that. You want to say you're saved. You want preaching and singing and shouting and dancing.
Right.
You want, like the old time, you know, singing and shouting and dancing the old time way. But then when you get out of mother's other soul, they see you, Lord, they see you doing something different. And you're not representing the presence of God. Oh, me and my wife go out, amen, which is quite often. I love to take her places and be with her. Love to have her on my arm.
Amen. And whatever we go, whatever we do, we still representing God. All right, my time is up. Verse 12. And it was told King David, remember now, the Ark of the Covenant is at Obed-Edom house for 3 months. Everyone attached to Obed-Edom is being blessed. His whole household, that's what the scripture says. Yeah. Verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And all that pertaineth unto him, everybody attached to him because of the Ark of God. So they went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. David heard, man, Obed-Edom is prospering down there, bro. Obed got it going on. Obed is doing it up. Ben and all his children, everybody eating shrimp. Everybody eating shrimp and steak. They ain't doing no hot dogs no more. They ain't doing no patties. They ain't doing no hamburger patties no more. No more shrimp. No more popping on their Kool-Aid. No, they drinking good. They eating good shrimp and oysters and crab meat. They had the barbecue crab meat. Obed-Edom is good, everybody. And that's what we ought to look for our families, because we reverence God. Everybody that's attached to us to be blessed.
Yes, Lord.
I'm through. God bless you tonight. Amen. God bless you tonight. Listen, if you want to read more about that, you can go over to 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. Talks about it a little bit more. I just don't have time to get into all of that. Okay? But the presence of God, we need his presence. Amen. I dare you just lift your hands right where you are. And if you drive and don't tip God, keep one hand on the steering wheel. Don't say, Brother Omar told me to lift my hands. Amen. And you know, keep one hand on the steering wheel. We want to eat lobsters. And just say, God, I want your presence. That's it. Father, we thank you on tonight. We ask that you bless your people. We ask that you forgive us of our sins. Things that we've done that may have troubled the Holy Ghost. Things that we may have done. Thoughts we may have had that was not pleasing to you. That may have troubled your presence. God, we ask tonight you help us to walk right, help us to live right, help us to know the difference of just being, trying to do a good deed next to knowing your will for our life. We see others attempted a good deed, but that wasn't the will, that wasn't proper. And God, we understand what all these prophets and all these soothsayers and witches and warlocks are saying, but God, we want to be in your presence so we can hear from you. So we'll know your will for our life. We thank you. We appreciate you on tonight. If there's one on tonight that would like to be blessed financially, you tuned in. This is your Thursday night service, and the Lord may have laid, he may lay it on your heart. He may prick your heart to be blessed on tonight. This is our Thursday night service. Amen. And it's just offering time. Amen. We never ask, don't ask for a certain amount, just whatever the Lord lays it on your heart. There are several that they can give five, several that give 10 and 20, and some hundreds. Amen. We're just grateful. Sometimes it's nothing, but we're grateful. Thank God for having help. I'm glad that I got enough strength to be able to preach almost like I normally preach. I'm on my way there. While I'm on my way there, I want to keep his presence. So you have two ways in which you can give on tonight. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. You can give by Cash App, $OZ. That stands for Omar Zachary. So $OZ264.
Yes.
That's the Cash App. Once again, $OZ264. Amen. You can Cash App whatever the Lord lays on your heart to do on tonight. Amen. Also, we have our financial offices open. Amen. If you would like to call our financial offices to give credit or debit cards, they are PayPal. Or just for mailing information. I thank God for, amen, one of my lifelong friends, man, remember my home church, Brother Craig Harris and Sister Shante Harris, amen. They
every month, you know, supported by our ministry, Praise Tabernacle Church. And, amen. And we give out the mailing address. I just got a another love offering from them on tonight through the mail. So we were grateful. Amen. We're grateful for the Harris family. It's been doing that every month for a while now. And we're thankful. Amen. We'll be turning that into the church on Sunday. Amen. If you would like to give credit, debit card, mailing information, you can call directly at 678-760-6056. Once again, 678-760-6056. And just let the sisters, evangelists, know this is for pastors, for Brother Omar. Amen. Just want to be a blessing to him. Amen. Thank you so much. Listen, meet us back Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Amen. We'll be at our local assembly, our headquarters for our local church. Amen. Praise Tabernacle Church. Amen. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Listen. At my home church, they will say, come join us, won't you? I don't see why don't you. Amen. If you would like to come be a part of our Sunday morning celebration, amen. Of course, you can still watch it online, but if you would like to come, maybe visit us one Sunday morning, amen. You can come. The address is 199 East Crooked Street, amen. Once again, 199 East Crooked, that's C-R-O-G-A-N, East Crooked Street. Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30043. And we'll be more than happy to have you. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in again. May his peace, may his presence be with you. Father, we thank you. As you are in this place, let your presence. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 28 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you and get in his presence.